foundation, right? We're talking about the part of our life that no one sees, right? What we often focus on in our Christian life and often becomes the case that we deal with is what's on the outside, right? By the way, this is what we do in every part of life. We want people to see what we think is important, what we think they think is important. And some people are like, well, I don't care what people think. People that say I don't care what people think are usually the ones that care most about what people think. You know, but it's a kind of way, I don't care what people think. What they're trying to put on is this thing of, I'm the kind of guy that doesn't care what people think, right? And so we kind of do this whole thing. But in the Christian life, a lot of times what we want to focus on a lot is the things that that we have there on the outside. Matter of fact, the good thing, not that they're bad, you know, coming to church and having the right speech and doing the right things and looking the right way and dressing the right, whatever. All the things that, you know, maybe are important, but what can happen is if all we're doing is making the outside to look good, we could be like a whited sepulcher, right? Dead bones within. But the fact is, of course, that's not, I'm using that from the Bible, but really what I'm talking about is what can happen is if all we're trying to do is build this on the outside and we're not building on the inside that relationship with the Lord, then all that we stack up is like it's on sinking sand, like the Tower of Pisa. Yeah, and it fell because they didn't put enough foundation on it. So that's what we're talking about here. And so we didn't get much done. Number one was, we talked about, was the foundation of relationship. And that's, if you didn't fill your blank in on the very beginning, point number one was the foundation of relationship. And so, and again, with that relationship, we're not talking about just casually, it's not casual knowledge of God. Yeah, do you know about God? Yeah, I know about God. He's God, he's up in the sky, and he's got a Bible in church, things like that, right? Sometimes, yeah, I know about God, and if we'll be real honest, don't know really a whole lot about him. It's not just simply knowing, yeah, Jesus, you know, I went through early part of my life, yeah, I believe Jesus, Son of God, right? Why do I know that? Well, people say that thing, right? I know that he died on the cross. Why? Because I see crosses and I see a crucifix and yeah, I believe that. Why not? Right? But what did I know about him? I didn't really know a lot about him. I just knew some. Remember we talked about last week? I knew his statistics. Right? A lot of times when we know somebody, we know their statistics. We could say when they're born. Matter of fact, we could do that inside a church. We could know somebody's statistics. We could, you know, their age. We could know where they're from. This is the kind of thing we want to get out of somebody. Right? Right away. Want to find out a little bit about, hey, you know, because we don't know. How do you start with somebody? Hey, what's your deepest passions and desires? Well, we don't, that's a weird way to start a relationship, right? You know, but when we start with, hey, where are you from? And if you're in Florida, where are you from? Right? Because most people aren't from Florida. They're from somewhere else. And so where are you from? Maybe in our area is a little different, right? But you get some different things. Where are you from? And where did you live? We already found out Tony. Does everybody meet Tony up here? He's a Navy veteran, right? We hear that a little bit. If somebody's a veteran, it's not going to be too long before you figure that out from them, right? Because it becomes part of your life, right? And some of you guys that deal with different things, it's not too long before you find out somebody works with the space program, right? Why? Because it's very consuming, right? And there's something with it, and you find out a little bit. And so we find out some of these things, but that's not really them. Piece of it. But to really get to know somebody, it's beyond the statistics. It's, you know, what do you like to do? You know, what's your hobbies? And what do you think about? And, you know, how's your relationship with your family? And we get into some of those things. You don't start with that. Right? Brother Jonathan, you and your mom not really on good terms right now, are you? Now, you don't start that right away, right? You kind of get, matter of fact, maybe never get into that thing. But the thing is, what happens is we've got to spend some time to get to know them, right? We got to spend some time. There's some investment in there, and so the word that we find this thing to know him. We read Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. It's in your handout there, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The Greek word used here for know, you know, is the same as the English word, but it kind of has a little bit more. But it means to understand. It means to grasp and to ascertain, or it's really especially to be familiar or acquainted with a person or thing. To really be acquainted with them. And so to get acquainted with somebody, it's really to know somebody through a relationship. Got to spend some time. So we started with a know his person. Know his person. And we talked about more than an intellectual knowing about him, but knowing personally, knowing the person of Christ who spent time with him. So we said this last week. I'm just recapping a little bit for those who weren't here and just to get us all back in the mindset. Religion alone is satisfied with ornate rites, right? If all we're talking about is religion, we're talking about doing some things, ritual, rites. Rites is short for ritualistic things that we do. We do it this way, we do it that way. By the way, all things that we do ritually aren't bad. Let's don't grab a hold of that. But religion is often just satisfied with doing this, these ornate rites, or some a system, or some regulations, and how it's. And here's the thing: many people that do this thing, they'll go into church, go into a church service, do some of these rites. They'll kneel, stand, light candles. We have our own little bit of way. Go get a cup of coffee. No, I don't. We'll do some things, and it's like I came, I sat, the offering plate came by, I put a dollar in it, right, or whatever. You know, I did the thing, and you walk out feeling like I did religion. And what we can do is we can say, so somebody comes and say, "Do you know God?" "Yeah, I know God. I go to church every week. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to." Especially on visitation or something, out there talking to people, and I'll say, "Hey, I'll talk to them about, you know, if you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven?" They said, "Oh yeah, I go to church every week." Like right then, like that's connected. Like, are you saved? I go to church every week. That's not even the same question. It's not even, I mean, it's in the same ballpark, but like, it's over like at the concession stand. You know what I'm saying? It's barely the same kind of thing. And so this thing of knowing God is, and knowing the Lord is more than just doing some of these things that gets us through this thing. A Christian ought to desire to know Christ, in a personal way. So we read Ephesians chapter 1, 15 through 18. I don't want to get back into all that. I want to get through that. And let's get down to new material. How about that? Spend about 7 minutes just getting us caught up. So if I do that every week, it's going to take us forever. And forever's coming. Okay, B. Know his... we know his person. We know his person. I think that's what it says, wasn't it? Know his person. And then the second one is know his power. Know his power. And so... Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, part of it, it says, not that we know him, and the power of his resurrection. So, the Greek word here for power is the word what? Anybody know? This is something that gets dunamis. Dunamis. Y'all heard that, right? Dunamis. How many, raise your hand and you're like, okay, yeah, that's right, I've heard that one before, right? It's kind of a dunamis. It's a very fancy Greek word, and we get our English word from it, which is... Yes, thank you. Dynamite, right? So that's the Greek, the power that we get is where we get the Greek word dunamis. We get our word dynamite because dynamite has some, it has some power. So it kind of gives us that thing. And so it is a life-changing power that comes through the Spirit of God living within us. Okay? By the way, that's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that lives within us. Is that kind of... So we have the power to raise ourselves from the dead. Is that right? No. Okay, good. I like that. I'm like, okay, right away heads are shaking. No, that's not right. Good. Used to be, y'all would look at me like, Is that what he's saying? Is this heresy? No. Okay. So the thing is, what we find is that power, of course, by the way, it is the power that's going to resurrect us from the dead one day, or when Christ comes back at that time. So here we see that Paul states in this way, that he wasn't content to merely know about power. Okay? He didn't want to just know about power. He wanted to experience it. That's it. He wanted to experience it. It had to be more than just, yeah, I've read about this. Y'all may have heard me talk about this before in the past. When I first got saved, I was in a church, a little bit smaller than our church here. And when I got in there, and I think it was, Wednesday nights we do testimonies. People give testimonies. People share about what God, you know, did in their lives, some things through the week, and so they give testimonies. And I remember hearing these testimonies, and I think, wow, God is moving in the life of people. It was always encouraging. I remember, but there was a period of time after a while, I began to think, I want some of those. I want God to move in my life the way God had moved in their life. And I knew I was saved. And I knew that but I thought something was missing for me that they had, but that the way they talked, and these weren't like super Christians, you know, somebody that's like, oh, these are the great Christians. No, it was several different people, all different walks of life, all different maturity levels. They were all talking about it at different times, you know, week by week. And I thought, wow, why do all of those have something like that? So what would I need to do to have that? And I begin to say, God, I want you to move in my life like that, with that power that you're moving in their life. And the difference is what Paul was saying is to know about it is exciting. To know that God can do those things, that's exciting. But to experience it for ourselves, it's going to take more than knowing about it. It's going to take experience. It's like, say, God, I want to know that. I want to know what's going on with this thing. I want to experience it myself. And so here's the thing. Paul gladly exchanged his human lack of power, his impotence, if we'd say in that sense, for experiencing God's omnipotence, right? He said, you know what he's going to say? What Paul dealt with, he said, I'm going to go ahead and put aside the things that I can do, right, to experience what the Lord can do in me. It means I'm going to have to get to know him a little bit. He wanted to know the fullness of God's power is what he said. So we got here, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Who wants to read that one? Somebody raise their hand up. Who wants to read? It's right there. 2 Peter chapter 1. All right, brother Ed. Okay, so he's given us, look at that verse again. It says, according to his divine power, he hath, what's that next word? Given unto us all, we're talking about all that have been saved, things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, how does he give those to us? Through what? Through the knowledge of him. But yeah, through the word, but it says through the knowledge of him. Okay, so how do we get that power? How do we through the knowledge, through knowing him? We don't get it. The Spirit of God comes within us, but it's kind of like a stick of dynamite, but without an ignition source. Right? It's like, man, I've got this dynamite. Why do some people? You ever wonder that? Why do some people? I mean. Their spiritual, their relationship, their Christianity seems to like just soar, right? And others, they seem to struggle at every step of the way. And maybe when the they is, the sometimes is the me. God, why are, I don't know if you've done this more than once, many times. I'm like, God, what is, now I'm not like, God, why do they get something I don't? Not like a spoiled kid, but like, God, what is it about this person's life that, your blessing, and they seem to have it, but it seems to be missing in me. And what we find here is this thing, what's missing in me, the Spirit, is me getting to know Him. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Who wants to read that one? All right, Brother Johnson. So we find here what he's talking about is Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among men. It doesn't mean I don't want to know anything, because he was a very smart fellow. He was trained and all this stuff. But he said, but what I'm seeking for, here's what the Apostle Paul was saying. I'm seeking for to build below the baseline, not what's out here. But I want to build something. The demonstration of the Spirit of power. We look at, I think it's fair to say the Apostle Paul is maybe an example of the greatest Christian that certainly we see. When I say the greatest, who's the greatest among, I don't know if we want, but when we see that, we see so many areas in his life that he suffered for the Lord and what God used him to do. And here's something that we find about him in the Scriptures, that he was seeking for that. How to tap into that power of God to serve Him and to be used for Him. So below the baseline, each of our lives, there must be God's power at work. Okay? If we're going to see something in our life that's going to amount to anything for God, all right? If we're going to see anything in our life that's going to amount, there's got to be God working below the baseline in our lives for that to come out. Do you want, maybe a place to say this is, do you want to see God work in your life? Do you want to see God work through your life? Because so sometimes we really think, sometimes we'll grab a hold of this thing. I think my Christianity is good enough. We may not say it that way, but we would kind of think, I've heard people say, I feel like I'm doing enough. I've heard people say stuff like that. I feel like this is it. And yet, the truth is, when there's a burden in your life and there's a problem in your life, there's a sick family member, there's a real issue, right? You know what we want to do? We want to call on God, and we want God to answer us, right? So all of a sudden, then, we want power with God, right? Is that where we go, right? Maybe there's somebody that you're dealing with. Maybe there's a friend, a family member, a neighbor, somebody that their life is a mess. It's a wreck. And they're separated from God, and they're not saved. Their life is a wreck, and you want the gospel to get to them, and you begin to try to share the gospel with them, and it kind of comes a little flat, right? A little frustrated, like, God, would you save them? It's like, here's what I'm saying. We all at some point, if you're saved, you want that to come out. You want the power of God to come out of your life to be used for you. And here's the thing, if we're going to see that, if we're going to have the power of God in our life, He is going to have to work below the baseline in our life, not in the things that people see, but in our heart with what God's going to be doing. He's got it. We ought to be personally experiencing the manifestation of God's power working in and through us in our relationship with Him. We ought to be experiencing that. Even if it doesn't come out and where everybody else gets to see it. But we got to get to know His power, and it's going to take getting to know Him. So then C. That was quick. See, we're moving along, right? C. Know His presence. Know His presence. Again, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, it continues, says, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. So the word fellowship speaks of the word, we talk about it also in the Scripture, speaks of communion. It means to partake with Christ, to commune with Him. Paul had such a deep relationship with Christ that he even penned these words from prison. And he had come to realize, as he penned these words from prison, he came to realize that the sufferings of life gave him a venue of the fellowship of suffering with Christ. You see, how are we going to be involved in the fellowship of His suffering? You see, man, I'd kind of like all the things except for the suffering, right? But what Paul realized and the Lord used to teach us is this, is that it's through those trials, it's through those things that actually is where we get the opportunity to grow. Who likes trouble? Only Hayden. Who likes trouble? We don't like trouble. I infamously say, I want everything to go my way all the time, right? I don't ever want any problems. I want everything to go exactly the way I want it. I win, everybody else, no, not that, but I just want things to go the way I want them to go. You know how often that works out? Not very often. Not very often. And is that disappointing to me? Always. But the fact is, we learn, and God is able to do something in our life when that becomes a problem, when we realize, okay, God, I hit a dead end. It's not what I wanted. How are we going to react when you don't get what you want? Yeah. That's a tough thing, isn't it? Tough thing not getting what you want. Because sometimes what we want is good stuff. I don't mean like selfish, you know, lustful. I mean, sometimes what we want is good things, and God says, nope, it's just not going to be the thing for you to have. And so there's this bit of a challenge. Rather than complaining about his problems and looking for a way out, Paul looked at those sufferings as tools to experience the presence of an almighty God. He found them in a place to be able to say, okay, God, here's something that's happening. Let me use this to get to know you. It's actually a different way of thinking, isn't it? Because typically, when we don't get things the way we want, what do? Get upset. What else? Well, what do? When we get upset. What are some things? What are some reactions that we have when we don't get the things? You know, what if you don't, you know, you're working a job, right? And you've got a set schedule, and you like your schedule. 9-to-5-er, right? Man, this is awesome. I like 9-to-5 and go home with my family. I can do whatever I want. I get an hour lunch break in there. Man, it's a great day. It's a great life, and you're doing this for a while, and then the boss comes and says, hey, now I need you to come in at 8:30 and you leave at 4:30. Oh, man! You know, like a half hour, really? Is that? Some people do that. It's like all of a sudden a half hour, life is just in a disarray. This is unfair. You know, here's the thing that happens with jobs, too. And they give you something, right? If you're, you know, and, you know, Todd's an employer, right? So he gets to sometimes give opportunities. So you give somebody, you provide Gatorade. Let's say, I don't know if you provide Gatorade, but you provide Gatorade, right? Well, you're doing that every day, every week, providing Gatorade. Well, all of a sudden, Gatorade just skyrockets, or you couldn't get a hold of it no more. And he's like, okay, we're not going to do Gatorade, we're just going to have water. They come in. All we get is water? You know, I mean, all of a sudden you were giving them. Did they deserve to be given Gatorade? No, go get your own Gatorade. But the company gives you something, right? And you're like, wow, that's great. All of a sudden, when you first get it, they're like, wow, this is so great. Thanks for the Gatorade, right? And then later on, it's like, okay, it's just not part of our budget anymore, or it's too hard to get, or we just, you know. So now it's just water. Like, I hate this place now. Right? Isn't that how it works? Y'all have done those things. You guys both manage people. All three of you guys manage people. You do different things. You know how it is. All of a sudden, something comes away that you gave someone. Makes an employer almost afraid to give people something. Right? Because if I have to take it back away, it's like you've lost something. Man, so what we have a tendency to do is get upset, complain. Complaining is so awesomely easy. right? Ugh, right? It comes natural, isn't it? It's like it's wired into our DNA to complain. We are good at that, finding the problems. And so what Paul realized is the problems actually are tools to get to know the fellowship. You ever felt like your situation is unfair? Anybody ever felt like, whether your job or your life or whatever, health, whatever it is, man, this is unfair. Anybody ever felt like that? Feeling unfair can put us into a spiral that goes down into self-despair and blaming and complaining. If you catch yourself in it, here's the thing, it's hard to catch yourself in that. Because you get going at pretty good speed. Now everything, you hate everything. Right? You ever catch yourself? I catch myself there. And all of a sudden I'm like, man, you know, I'm complaining. What I really hate is when somebody else catches me in it. You're complaining about really stupid stuff because you just started this spiral. Like, yeah, and then this, and then somebody says, really? You know, is it that bad? You're like, no. And then you feel like an idiot. And you're like, well, just next subject. You know, anyway. So, listen, Paul realized, and what we ought to realize is when things don't go the way that we'd want them to, troubles come and challenges. These are tools to get to know the suffering of Christ, to get to know Him more. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Who wants to read that one? Our brother Ed. Yes, so this is a verse that I think is kind of misunderstood a lot of times, and I've talked about this verse several times in the past, but this come boldly to the throne of grace. I could just come into, because, you know, I could come in, God, the Bible says come boldly, God, I'm asking you to do this. That is not, the come boldly doesn't mean I could just kind of charge into the throne room and tell God, okay, God, I'm coming in to tell you what I want. That's not the intent of this at all. I've thought that. I've heard that preached. I've thought that many times. I thought, okay, that means we can just come in. God, this is what I need. This is what I want, God. And no, really, the context of it really is this. Because Jesus has suffered and He endured, because of that, I can boldly understand that I can come in and He will understand. Okay? That's what it is. That's the content. That's the context of it, is knowing his sufferings, knowing His presence. So the deepest moments of fellowship with Christ can be the times of our most intense suffering. Have you ever had a period of time when something was so heavy on you that you had to pull over on the side of the road, cry out to God in tears, or a place that you've got had to get to side of, so overwhelming. God, I've got you. You got to do something. You've been there, your life like that? I can remember the first time. I was still a pretty young Christian. Young Christian, young man, completely ignorant about everything, right? Kayla was a infant. And she was on the brink of death. Bring her to the hospital. Still in the Air Force at that time. Bring her to the hospital at the base and put her in there. And they put her in this cage. You know, it was stacked up in those days. And they pulled the cage down. And, you know, and so it's a nursery thing, so she didn't fall out. They got tubes in her little body. I mean, she's just, and I'm just sitting there thinking, I'm just thinking, God, we can't, you know, I'm begging God. I mean, I don't know that I very few times went into the chapel at the hospital. And went in there, and I'm just in there begging God. I'm like, tell you, such a helpless place. Helpless, but not hopeless. And I'm telling you, sometimes like that is when we get the closest to God. I'm like, God, whatever's in my life, right? God, whatever's in my life, would you, help me, because I want to be where, you know, my fear through life has been this, and started there, but gone to, and I thought, God, I don't ever want to be in a place in my life that you have to afflict my family, my children, because I'm not where I ought to be. You know, you say, does God do that? I don't know. I just don't want it to. You know, I just don't want to be the one that causes this. And so I can remember, you know what she needed? Some fluids. She wasn't dying. She was just, you know. But I'm probably, you know, 23, 24 at this time. You know, I don't know anything, and everything is just so intense. You know, I don't know anything about kids. I'm going to kill them all. You know, I'm afraid, you know, what am I going to do with this little thing, right? But I'm telling you, some of those intense times in our life, some of those intense suffering in our life is when we can get closest to fellowship with Christ. But that's below the baseline, isn't it? Do you know what happens with some people? And maybe it's happened to you at times. Something will be really pressing on your life. And we've seen it. We've seen it over and over and over in churches. If you've been in church very long, you'll watch this. This intense time will come into somebody's life. And what will they do? It's too much for me. I can't even come to church. You're like, why would this intensity come? And the first thing you do is run away from the one that could give you the answer. And I don't mean church, but the Lord, to give the answer. Isn't it? Have you seen that many times? Maybe some of us have done that. And we get there to that place and you're thinking, wow, here's what it is. If all we're building is what's on the outside, we're going to be a sinking sand. And that's what's going to happen. So this kind of thing, and we realize suffering drives us. It ought to drive us to seek the presence of God. And so we find in him a merciful high priest. We find a faithful friend who feels our pain. And that's what Hebrews chapter 4 is talking about. He feels our pain. He understands these things that we've dealt with. And so he's a sympathetic companion who faced all the trials and temptations that we face. And so we can boldly come to God's throne and find grace to help in the time of need, because he knows the feelings of our infirmities. And that's what we find with this. So Paul didn't give up in times of suffering, because he recognized that it was through suffering that God's presence became most real. I want to, man, listen, if there's anything, and I talk about this, but in our men's meeting, different things, men, we have a role and a responsibility. Our role in the Lord, in our families, is leadership, right? Amen. Is that what the Bible teaches? Right, leadership. So when we lead, with leadership comes responsibility, right? Think about Pickett's charge, right? And he took all of his troops in, and really some of these things, and every one of them died. Every single one of them. Remember we talked about this. We talked about there's a mess. I got some statistics. I can't remember. Was it from Harvard? Or some Ivy League school. All of the men from that class all had joined Pickett's regiment. And they all wiped out the whole student body, all the men in that student body. And, you know, when you have leadership can sound like, that's great, I get to be in charge. Leadership has great responsibility, great responsibility. And so we have, men, we have the responsibility to build what's below the baseline, so that, because leadership decisions are hard. If you think, man, I wish I could be in charge. I wish I could do things. I mean, I'd rather be in charge than have some other knucklehead in charge. Right? You understand what I'm saying? But the thing is, with that knucklehead in charge, he also has the responsibility. And so, yes, that's where God put us. We don't get a choice on that thing. And so when we find this, it's important to build something below the baseline so that we have that. I want to give you, there's a story here. In the early 1400s, John Huss, you might have heard of John Huss, you might have heard that name, some of you. He was a Catholic priest, and he was appointed in Prague at the Bethlehem Chapel. Through the preaching of John Wycliffe, however, Huss began to see the error of the Catholic Church in preaching salvation by works. Huss began to boldly preach the truth of salvation by grace alone to his congregation. His Catholic priest doing this. Left works and grace through faith. This gained the attention of his people, drawing crowds and resulting in many being saved. Can you get saved in the Catholic Church? If the priest gets saved, he could. Starts preaching the book, sure, sure. Meanwhile, the Pope promised forgiveness of sins to all who supported his leadership. Wouldn't that be awesome? The Pope says, I'll forgive you your sins if you'll follow my leadership. Because that's how that works, right? Right? He's promising something he couldn't provide. Huss did not cower from clearly pointing out the fallacy of the Pope's declarations. For only Jesus Christ can offer remission of sins. This caused great suffering for John Huss. He was burned at the stake because of his refusal to comply to the Catholic Church's teachings. As the wood was lit and the flames wrapped around his body, Huss cried out, "What I taught with my lips, I now seal with my blood. Lord, I commend my spirit to you." John Huss knew the fellowship of suffering with Christ. Like Paul, he did not seek to elude suffering nor fold to the pressure. He had a foundation that was far deeper than what the pain of suffering could reach. Now, how many here are ready to get burned at the stake? Yeah. Man, I'm glad we live in a different era, right? I'm glad we live in a different era for many reasons. That one of them. And thankfully, we don't live in that time that the boldness of those, and really it's people like this that ended that for us. And there was enough that kept coming up and say, no, we're not going to be in part of these Inquisition. I could do that. And even the Catholic Church has changed the way they don't kill people at stake anymore. Praise the Lord. Right? And so things have changed. And so, but I don't think we need to be, the decision for us is, you know, am I going to be willing to be burned at the stake? But am I willing to stand for the Lord? Even when it brings us pressure against family, friends, society, neighbors, whatever it is. When we have an abiding relationship with Christ, we come to know Him in a way that's deeper than surface knowledge. It's different. His power and His presence become real in our lives in a way that sustains us. I would like to say, well, last thing. This is what it means to build a foundation with God that will last for a lifetime. I want to say, man, I think often we look at other people, good, godly people that have, I do. I'll look at good, godly people and say, what is it? What is it in their life that has caused God to bless them? Because it's not them, right? It's not them. It's not their skill. Because I used to think, well, man, they're just really good. You know, because I think about preachers. God, and I do. I think, God, how did you use this one? And I think, yeah, he's a good preacher. But what I know from the Word of God, this isn't because this is a great guy. It's not because he's educated, he's awesome, and he's skilled, and he's got all this experience. No, no. Not necessarily, those things might be factors. But the fact is, if he's being blessed, because God's blessing them. So what is it that's different about them that God would bless? It's because we're all made of the same flesh and blood, right? So what's the difference? The difference is, am I getting a hold of what God wants from me? Rather, am I letting Him have the part of me that He's trying to get a hold of below the baseline? And it's more than just what's out here. Folks, this... God works from the inside out. God works from the inside out. When He changes our heart, He changes our life, He changes who we are, that comes out of us, right? That comes out of us. It's kind of like, in a sense, the tip of the iceberg, right? The tip of the iceberg is comparatively tiny, right? Comparatively to what's like, wow, that's a huge iceberg. No, that's just, that's, what you're seeing is below it, that's where we're building. We're building something so that what finally comes out is something amazing that has the power of God on it. If all we're trying to do is build something that's floating, an iceberg that's floating, it's going to do what? What? It's going to sink. It's going to melt, and it's going to sink. When? When the sun comes out. The sun's going to come out and burn through that thing and melt it, and it's gone. And somebody man, I thought brother so-and-so, man, I thought he for sure would never. You ever thought about people like, there's no way I ever thought brother so-and-so would ever leave. There's no way I thought brother so-and-so, and you know, would all of a sudden his whole life would turn to a wreck. Why? Well, because all he was, brother so-and-so was doing is building that floating thing that just people see. Let God build something below you. And I'm telling you, what comes out becomes exciting. And so we'll get back to the rest of this next week. We're going to finish it next week. Amen. Amen. And then we'll get to move on. And so keep your handouts for one more week. And anybody have any? It's not really any questions because I didn't really give any good questions, but anybody have any comments on that? Want some illustration? We got like no minutes left, but if anybody wants to have something to add, experience, maybe a time that you were in that place, think about that. Think about that next week. Think about there's a time that you're in that place that God, you got closer to Christ through your suffering. And that was a place. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this time today, these men, Lord, I pray that you would help us to really put our effort towards knowing you through your word, or that we might experience the things that you experience, that we might get to know you, to be like you, and Lord, that what would come out of our life would be that power with you, that we might be what we desire to be, and we might have the power with those around us to be an influence for Christ. And Lord, pray that you'd have your will and way this morning in the service to follow. We'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name.